Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. What happened to the unpredictable NBA season we thought we were going to get? What happened to the concept that we don't know who's going to be in the finals? And we have no idea how this thing's going to play out. Man, judging from your reaction, judging from trade deadline, seems like things went awry somewhere. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hop in on this on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. I want to know what team should be the title favorite after the NBA trade deadline. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. And I guess I just keep going back to before the season started when we all thought that suddenly this was going to be the year that you have no idea. Now that the dismantling of the Warriors has happened, it could be anybody. And we spent so much time on radio talking about how there are half a dozen teams that could contend. But I'm asking you guys now after the NBA trade deadline, who should be the favorite? On Twitter, almost everybody is saying the Lakers. I mean, is it that simple? Have the Lakers already sewn this thing up? I'm stunned. I am stunned to think that we've all just decided that this is the Lakers to have. Now, I want to get more of your thoughts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Call us. Maybe we're missing something. Maybe you can change everybody's mind on who should be the favorite post-trade deadline. In the meantime, even though everybody seems to be in love with the Lakers, there's a real question because the Clippers got better yesterday. The Clippers actually went out and improved themselves. So now there's a question, even though you guys still think the Lakers are the favorite, it raises a conversation about whether the Lakers should have done more. Should they have been more aggressive? ESPN basketball analyst Jay Williams and ESPN NBA analyst Damon Jones joined Max and Emmanuel Acho. And man, there's a real question here. Did the Lakers do enough?
It's a big deal. And it's a big deal because, look, I think what LeBron's responsibility is to the Lakers and to basketball fans, to his own legacy, is in this contract with the Lakers, get one. It doesn't have to be this year, but these windows of opportunity are precious. And you don't want to just waste one. And the fact of the matter is the Clippers, who I already thought were better than the Lakers, got better. And the Lakers, who desperately needed a playmaker in the backcourt to take the pressure off LeBron, just a crime partner who could go, it's not Rondo anymore. KCP, none of his abilities are pitched high enough to be that guy. You know, then a guy like Danny Green's a 3-point shooter, but he's not going to put the ball on the floor and get you. They needed someone like that, particularly because LeBron is averaging about 35 minutes a game, and until about a month ago was playing both ends of the floor because he's trying to set the tone on defense, challenged by AD, and it's one of the reasons, you know, he's great, and he's leading the team defensively. It's why they're a good defensive team. But while everyone's criticizing Kawhi, oh, load management, he's only going to play 60-something games, he's got his eyes on the prize, coach. He's going to be ready, rested, ready to go, just like last year. Mm-hmm. And LeBron, at 35 years old, I was in L.A. when Kobe staged a mutiny against D'Antoni. And on Magic's advice, they were like, this ain't working with Dwight and Nash the way he wants us to play. We're getting the ball down to Powell. Dwight, get back on defense and be the defensive captain. I'm going to be the primary scorer. They went 28-12 and made the playoffs because of Kobe. But his Achilles snapped that season because he played a million minutes in his career. He was averaging too many minutes, trying to do too many things, didn't have enough help. LeBron could be in that position.
Ooh, don't even put that out there.
No, no, because you know why, Roz? Speaking it into existence doesn't doing it. The doing it does it. The doing it does it. Believe me, I get the heebie-jeebies when I say that, too. But the fact is, the doing it is what does it. You've got to skill. Look.
Why would you say that?
What's that?
No. Okay, that's just basketball. I'm sorry. I know your overall point. Just don't say about a man's injury, man.
Hold on. When I was on the radio back then, Marcellus Wiley and me were doing Afternoon Drive in L.A. Before the injury, I was saying, this is insane. D'Antoni, someone's got to put their body in front of Kobe and say, you can't be averaging 44 minutes a game. Something bad's going to happen. Then it happened after 2 weeks. I'm like, this is what I was talking about. I didn't speak it into existence. They played it into existence. LeBron needed help. He is an ancient basketball player who's playing at an unprecedented level for a guy who's logged his minutes, and he didn't get the help at the deadline.
Well, here's the thing. Max and everybody knows this saying, and it transcends sports. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the Lakers right now with the number one seed in the West. It ain't broke. Chemistry, like we talked about earlier in the show, which LeBron said after playing Portland and playing the Cavs. Chemistry's on point. Mm-hmm. When you look at the only team in the league across both conferences that's playing better than the Lakers is Milwaukee. And LeBron's not worried about that. He can take down a team, which we've all seen, who's had the best record in NBA history when he took down the Warriors. So I don't think that's an issue. So I sit number one at the first point of,
me too.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. But then secondly, Max, the point you hovered around with LeBron and minutes and wear and tear. The dude's having another banner year at age 34, 35.
He also had the summer off, remember?
Yep. Had the summer off. And he's playing a career low 34 minutes a game. So it's not as if they're not being conscious of it. I just don't know that LeBron's trying to sit out games because I think he's wired a little bit differently. So if I'm the Lakers, you didn't have an issue. Why try to tinker with something? You had more to lose than you had to gain by making a move.
Well, I'm going to say this. I agree with Max that they could have used another playmaker. Because when LeBron goes to the bench, the offensive rating goes
falls way down.
Great.
But that would happen regardless.
Yeah.
We're talking about LeBron.
It happens throughout his whole career. But if they could have got Derrick Rose.
Okay, yeah, he would have been great.
He would have been a guy that could spell LeBron for 7, 8, maybe 9 minutes each half and get him through that. But I'm going to say this. LeBron is the best player in basketball. Okay. Anthony Davis is top five in the league right now. So with those two guys, I like my chances. They didn't make a move. Okay, no problem. I still have two of the top five best players in the game on my side, and I feel
good. So they're going to win it all in that case, right?
No.
Because they needed to make a move.
No, not because they needed to make a move. Just because. The coaching, and I keep saying it over and over.
Yeah, but it's hard to criticize a coach who has him with the best record in the conference, has him playing defense. They're coached well. Like, I agreed with you about Vogel. And also bringing Jason Kidd in, it's like, it's a recipe for disaster. You got to admit when you're wrong, they're doing great.
You know what? And I don't have a problem with Frank Vogel. I think Frank Vogel is a good coach. Frank Vogel has never coached in the finals.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, and that's my point. It has, don't get me wrong.
Neither did Doc Rivers until he did.
Neither did Eric Spoelstra until he did.
Yeah, but once he did, going forward, he had the recipe to get it done.
Yeah, except Doc hasn't won since then, has he?
Jay, should the Lakers have been more aggressive before the trade deadline?
I mean, you have to understand the innuendos of cap room space. I mean, what could the Lakers offer? Everybody's like, oh, the Lakers should go get Derrick Rose. I'm like, well, if Detroit wants a couple of first-round picks and a couple assets, like, the Lakers can't offer that. They don't have that, right, to currently work with. And I know you think I'm crazy about this. I know they do need somewhat of another playmaker. Would have been great to have Derrick Rose? Yeah, but you have to work with what you have. Mm-hmm. So you go out in free agency. You do everything you can do to bring Darren Collison on board. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that would have made $10 to $15 million this year if he didn't retire. Mm-hmm. He's a shooter that can knock down shots off LeBron and AD.
Experience,
in
the
PNR. Yeah. And that gives you your best shot to win it, and it's an additive piece on top of already being in the driver's seat in the Western Conference. So it's about what's realistic, guys. People out here throwing out different trade scenarios, do this. I got caught into it one time, like on Twitter. I was like, they should do this, and everybody's like, well, wait a second. I started doing more digging and actually understanding the cap space and what they had to work with, and then you understand actually how constrained they are,
what they realistically can do.
Well,
do you think Kuzma has no trade value?
I think he does, but I think he makes $2 million a year, so then I think you add on other additive pieces. Is that's Jared Dudley, if that's, you know, other aspects of what they have. And he's still trying to, if you're Detroit, you're saying, okay, if you want Derrick Rose, what are you going to give me for Derrick Rose? I want more than just Kyle Kuzma or Jared Dudley or Troy Daniels. Like, I want future picks as well, which they can't give.
You used the word realistic, too. I mean, one thing that was realistic was this battle between the Lakers and the Clippers for Marcus Morris and the Knicks. Yeah. So what do y'all make of the fact that it was the Clippers who ends up getting Marcus Morris and the Lakers didn't? Is that a big deal for y'all?
Well, I don't think the Lakers wanted to give up Kyle Kuzma.
They did.
No, and I think the Lakers actually wanted Andre Iguodala, but then he's got signed. I mean, Pat Riley, the godfather of sports.
Yes.
I mean, came in with that super deal. Let me say
this about what's going on. I'm a Lakers fan, actually. I gave up my Knicks. I couldn't take it anymore with Dolan. I went out to L.A.
I'm happy about Leon Rose and Worldwide West.
let me say this about the Lakers. As a fan of the team and the franchise and the Buss family, right? You know why? You know who got Andre Iguodala? Who the Lakers wanted? Who got him? Pat Riley. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just Lakers South. Mm-hmm. That's just Lakers Southeast.
The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night as LeBron and the Lakers visit the Warriors, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Tell me, who should be the title favorite after the NBA trade deadline? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. We're going to head out now to the Shell Penzo Performance Line to get some expert analysis on this from Frank Isola from The Athletic, and, of course, you see him on Around the Horn. Frank, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. What's your thoughts on the Lakers not getting anything done at trade deadline?
Yeah, I think they missed out. Doesn't mean that they can't win the championship, but you know, they had their hearts set on getting Andre Iguodala. They were hoping for a buyout, and then he would go to them, and they wouldn't have to give up anything. And then, of course, once he was off the board, they were interested in Marcus Morris. The Clippers ended up getting Marcus Morris from the Knicks, and then there was some talk about maybe Derrick Rose. It is kind of interesting that they miss out on a bunch of these guys, and then that night they end up losing to the Houston Rockets. But I think the Lakers will be okay as long as you still have LeBron, you still have Anthony Davis, and there are some guys on that roster with a big game experience, Danny Green, Rajon Rondo. But I think they certainly weren't winners in this whole thing. I think a guy like Andre Iguodala and certainly Marcus Morris could have helped them.
Well, Marcus Morris goes to the Clippers. So, Frank, what difference does he make as we have all eyes on L.A. for the Western Conference?
No, I think it's a big move for the Clippers. You know, they wanted to sign him over the summer, but he wasn't willing to wait around until after the deals for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were agreed to. Remember, like most guys, free agents had kind of agreed around June 30th, July 1st. Kawhi took a little while. Marcus Morris didn't want to wait. That's why he ended up going to San Antonio, and then he agreed to a deal with them, a handshake agreement, and then the Knicks came in, offered him more money, went to the Knicks. So they've wanted Marcus Morris all along, and I think when you look at a guy like that, you bring him on that team, he's their fourth best player, fifth best player maybe. He shoots, you know, he shoots at a high percentage on three-pointers. He brings you a lot of toughness. He can guard a lot of different positions. So I think for the Clippers, that was a really good move. The Clippers are going for it. I mean, come on, the team is off to the best start in franchise history. They've never been out of the second round. You can't let these years with Kawhi Leonard just get away without trying to go for it every chance you get. They have a committed owner who's not afraid to go into the pocketbook to spend as much as he can to try to help the team win. I thought it was a really good move for them to really solidify their roster for the final 30 games and certainly the playoffs.
We're talking to Frank Isola of The Athletic, and of course you see him on Around the Horn, and pardon the interruption. Frank, I feel like it's in a contract somewhere that if I have you, I have to ask you a New York question. So your thoughts on the Knicks as they made yet another change to the direction of their organization?
Yeah, once it becomes finalized, I think Leon Rose will do a good job. I've known him a long time. Leon's had a long relationship with the Knicks. Leon is a very serious guy, a very private guy. He's not going to be one of these guys where you're going to see him in front of the cameras, you know, much like Rob Pelinka with the Lakers. You hardly ever see him, even Bob Myers to a certain degree. Pat Riley's like that in Miami now that he's running the front office. So I think Leon will kind of fit in with that corporate culture that they have there in New York. And I think Leon has a lot of good relationships. You know the way it works, Jason. It's a relationship business. The Spurs, they make trades with all the people that used to work in their organization. You know, that's just the way it works. And I think Leon having good relationships with a lot of executives around the league, that'll help the Knicks. But the biggest thing is going to be, and this has been an issue that the Knicks have had, the biggest thing with Leon Rose, he's going to have to hire the right coach. And that'll be the first big move that he makes.
Real quick, Frank, before we let you go, what's a reasonable time for Knicks fans to give this turnaround?
What year are we into now? Year 20 since they've really they've won one playoff series in the last 20 years. But you know what, though, Jason? They do have a lot of draft picks, and it's not just about using those draft picks in the actual draft to acquire players. It's maybe packaging them together with another player to maybe acquire a player. So the Knicks are in a pretty good position in terms of potentially making moves. They set themselves up there, and they'll have a lottery pick. How about 2 years from now, they'll be a playoff team? How about, don't hold me to it, but I'm going to make everyone feel good today. I'll say 2 years.
That's spectacular work. Follow him on Twitter at TheFrankIsola. Frank, we appreciate your time. Thanks for the expertise.
Thanks, Jason.
So this whole conversation about the Knicks, and it's impossible to have any conversation about the Knicks that doesn't also involve James Dolan. And everybody knows that the owner of the Knicks is a galvanizing figure. Not everybody seems to love his style at times, and it makes it difficult sometimes to be a Knicks fan. So the question has become, how bad is Knicks owner James Dolan for the NBA? A difficult question to answer, frankly. So Jay Williams and Damon Jones, two of our best NBA analysts, joined Max and Emmanuel Acho, and they broke down how bad this situation is for the NBA.
He's a weight around the neck of the NBA. Understand.
Wow.
And understand, New York is a market of 20 million. You know what the number one sport in this town is? By far, basketball. By far. The reason not everyone knows that all the time is because the Yankees are dominant, the Giants sometimes win the Super Bowl, and the Knicks always stink. Mm. Even that message to the fans makes me ill. It turns my, just like we did with the Rangers. By the way, the Rangers are nothing to write home about, but they got one. So he's like, see how we had some success with the Rangers because I hired the right president. Jim Dolan, you've had decades now. You've had decades. New York's a market of 20 million. Like, it's like when Chicago's been down, that's a big market. L.A., when the Clippers stunk and the Lakers, if there was a time where they weren't winning championships, all of a sudden you alienate your three biggest markets. But New York is bigger than L.A. and Chicago combined. The only, like, you know, it's completely bringing down. And imagine if, even if it was the Patrick Ewing Knicks, no championships, but they're a playoff powerhouse. That was under Dolan's father. Jim Dolan had nothing to do with that. That was Chuck Dolan. If they were a playoff powerhouse making runs every year, this city would be jumping. Do you know what courtside tickets cost in the 80s?
Nobody would care what James Dolan said if they were winning.
$1,500 a pop in the 80s.
They would actually love it.
Thank God for the Nets. Because the Nets and KD and Kyrie are bringing excitement to this area. Now the Lakers and the Clippers are starting to have something in LA. That's lifting the entire NBA. But Dolan has been awful for the NBA, almost anyone else. And the NBA would be a more popular league in this country.
I would agree with you that he has not been great. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I think things are going to turn around. I think the issue you always had with the Knicks was a lot of the culture surrounding the Knicks, right? People in New York City knew that the Knicks were cool one day, but I didn't see people around the country saying rocking Knicks apparel and it being that country-like feel. Let me tell you about some things that I think they're doing. I think Leon Rose is a very interesting hire, going with the agent, the Rob Pelinka route, that understands cap structure and that type of stuff. I also think another hire of basketball operations in World Wide West is going to be very undercover, a great hire, right? Because I think he's going to be able to change the people that are around the organization.
I'll give you
another great hire, Steve Stout. People may not know who Steve Stout is. He worked in the hip-hop industry for a very long time, owns a marketing company called Translation. They're going to rechange and revamp the Knicks logo and their image overall. So I think some of the people that he's had in these places actually are experts in what they're doing. I think they're on the right track. I haven't said the Knicks have been on the right track for a very long
time. Guys, the Knicks are so bad that Dolan, in New York City, in Manhattan, can't get anyone to take his money. Free agents are like, no, I'm good. I don't need your
money.
I think
it's going to be different, though, if they keep revamping the way they're going right now.
Yeah. As a Queens girl and a New Yorker, I hope you're right. All right, let's move on to the next topic. I want to make sure we get to Drummond. The Detroit Pistons got in on the action at the trade deadline, dealing multi-time All-Star Andre Drummond to the Cavaliers for pennies on the dollar. Drummond reacted to the news off the trade on Twitter, tweeting, "If there's one thing I learned about the NBA, there's no friends or loyalty. I've given my heart and soul to the Pistons, and to have this happen with no heads up makes me realize even more that this is just a business. I love you, Detroit." Acho, I'm going to start with you. Should Drummond be this upset?
When I saw that, yeah, I said instantly yes, because as an athlete, and I hate ever being dismissive and saying you don't know unless you play the game. As an athlete, being in those situations, it always seems very curt. You know, Drummond comes into the league at 19 years old, and all he does is put up 14 and 14 for a team that has barely sniffed the playoffs just twice during his tenure with the Pistons. So he's out there slaving for that organization. Mm-hmm. And to be traded without even knowing, you go from NBA purgatory to NBA purgatory. And
no,
so
no,
worse purgatory.
He got traded for a ham sandwich. You know why? And he shouldn't even complain. Andre Drummond, not only is the league changing, forget about the rebounds as a hustle stat. He is talented. I know he's talented. Not only is the league changing, but he had a reputation for years as being a lazy player. Now he's in a contract year, so people don't believe it. Mm-hmm. So that's why he's traded for a ham sandwich. He is talented.
My issue, though, Max, isn't what he was traded for. My issue is the fact that, like, to not be notified, to be somewhere for 7 years, come in as a 19-year-old kid, a little bit of ignorance, I guess, on his part. But my issue lies with, like, how do you not notify somebody who has gone in for 543 straight games? He's only missed 11, I believe. And now you're just not even going to tell the dude you're shipping him off. It's cold.
They told him 2 weeks prior that, hey, listen, we're trying to get rid of you. And that's the only way they can improve their team. They have two bad contracts, Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. Only way they can get better as an organization, as a team, is to move one of those contracts.
I want to see Drummond on the Spurs or a team that would really coach him up.
As Hope said, this is a businessman.
Yeah.
If you missed the entire interview that we just had with Frank Isola, don't forget to check the whole thing out on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast, which, by the way, is spectacular, brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. When you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. What's in your wallet? I want to get your thoughts. Which team should be the title favorite after the NBA trade deadline? You've heard some of First Take. We'll get your take. 888-729-3776. The trade deadline is passed. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. And ESPN News, I'm Jason Fitz, presented by Progressive Insurance. Now that the trade deadline has passed, we want to know who you think should be the title favorite in the NBA. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. That's what Sean did when he said, clearly, the Clippers are the best. Clippers are 2-0 against the Lakers. The Clippers just landed Marcus Morris, who has the second highest 3-point percentage among players who have shot 250 plus 3-pointers. Clippers only 2.5 games back at the first seed, despite having only 3 games with a full strength team. So it's clear to Sean. Is it clear to everybody else? Scott in LA, thanks for calling First Take. You've heard some of First Take. What's your take? Who should be the NBA title favorite?
Hey, thanks for letting me come on. It was already the Clippers, but they got even better. To my clear surprise yesterday. And I'm going to put it into context for you because I get to watch a lot of the Lakers and the Clippers being out here. And LeBron has been fantastic all season. He's put in a ton of minutes. And, you know, I would argue that he might even be the MVP at this point of the year. But over the last couple of weeks, his play has started to wane. And the team, especially last night, and in the light of recent events, they look really, really tired. So I know they're first in the West now, but I don't see that lasting. It's only a matter of time before the pieces that the Clippers have will beat them for the first position. And for a contextual historical comp, think of the Clippers now as the early 2000s Pistons that beat that Shaq and Kobe team. You're going to be able to run a lineup of Rough Riders like Leonard, George, Morris, Harrell, Beverly. That is going to be suffocating to a team that's made up mostly of two players like Davis and James. And furthermore, this also goes to the point of why you don't hire agents to be VPs of operations. Props to West and Frank and Riley. They totally fleeced the teams to get the players they got so the Lakers don't get Iggy or Morris. They do nothing. It's just a matter of time. And lastly, Leonard is the real version of today's Mamba.
Well, look, I don't disagree with you that everything you just said makes sense. The only thing I'm going to say is that I'm going to give the same benefit of the doubt to the Clippers and the Lakers. My benefit of the doubt goes to Kawhi Leonard being able to turn on a switch and play at an incredibly high level in the playoffs we haven't seen. I will give that same benefit of the doubt to LeBron, because no matter what he's looked like in the regular season, we've never seen LeBron look tired in the playoffs. So you're going to get the best of both of them at that point. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com, or this is easy, just call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. In the meantime, we're only a few days removed from the Super Bowl. Frank Clark had the opportunity to join the panel with First Take, Frank Clark had the opportunity to join Emmanuel Acho and Max as they broke down the real quarterback conversation we all keep having is about where Super Bowl quarterbacks are in the league. Well, let's get one of the guys that played in the game to give his thoughts on it.
Man, that's one thing you want to do. You want to play for that contract so you earn your money, but then at the same time, you want to play to win championships. And, you know, over the last year and a half, you know, fortunately for myself, I've been able to do both. You know, I'm getting traded to the Kansas City Chiefs is one of the best decisions, you know, that was made, you know, my whole life. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just honored, man. I'm just blessed to be a part of something so special out there in KC. Being able to be a part of giving Coach Reed, helping him get his first championship ring as a coach. So, man, it's just an honor, you know. It's just an honor to be part of the Chiefs team.
Do you feel, real quick, Acho, I know you want to get in real quick. Do you feel like, because we've seen just in the NBA, moves made just in the last day because this dude might be in a contract year and he's hustling this year, but we don't really believe it. Do you, can you tell me about what that is where you get the contract and then you go out and ball and justify the fact that they paid you, to not be the kind of player who's just trying to get that deal but then goes out and does that?
It's not letting complacency get the best of you. I feel like when you let complacency get the best of you, that's when that happens. You know, it's when you feel like, oh man, I got a ball now. You know, I'm paid now, and instead of doing everything you have to do up until that point and then after. I feel like it's more important to do after and to prove to those fans and to those people who are, the people who paid you. I feel like it's important to show them, you know, each and every day, day and up.
Frank, let's talk about the game itself, because you went out there and I thought you kept it 100 after the game, talking about Jimmy G. Were you surprised that the Niners didn't try to run the ball, knowing how well they could run the ball, and they tried to lean on Jimmy G?
I kind of figured that was, you know, going to happen. That's why I kind of referenced to why I said it's like, you know, you're getting paid a lot of money. You know, you expect, you know, in those big games that the guys getting paid the most money are the guys they got a feature. You know, they want to feature him. They want him to throw the ball more. They want him to score more. He hadn't threw the ball, you know, basically for the whole playoffs, man. You look at the last game and what he had, 70-something yards passing or something, and they had over 200 yards rushing. So that's kind of how I looked
at it. When the score is 20-17, 6 minutes left in the game, it's 2nd and 5, you're going up, you look at the opposite side of the field, and you're looking at Jimmy G's eyes. Is there fear at that point in time? Like, are you worried that this dude, Jimmy G, can go down and beat you? Or are you totally confident as the Chiefs defense, like, this guy's not going to go beat us?
In my head, honestly, I was saying this guy's not going down the field and beating us. You know, we need 3 and outs. We need 3 and outs consecutive ones if we're going to win this game. And that's what we was able to go out there and do.
So now that you've seen Jimmy G on the biggest stage, where would you rank him amongst the top quarterbacks around the league?
I mean, I feel like he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you know. But you say top. Say number, top 5. I wouldn't put him top 5. You know, I put him up there as one of the top 10 guys, though, for sure.
Absolutely. Let's talk.
But you don't have the top 10 guy. You have the top 1 guy on your side.
Oh, yeah.
And I imagine as a defensive player, I mean, if you play daily fantasy football or something, you don't even get to pick a Frank Clark. You just have to take a defense and special teams, right? So there you guys revamp the defense, a huge reason that you win the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and yet Patrick Mahomes gets most of the shine. And I would tell you, Frank, he deserves it. Like, what is it like to have that guy as your quarterback? So much has been made about the Wasp, right? The play that won the game. After a completion, that was taken away. 3rd and 15, Super Bowl on the line. He takes an 11-step drop and throws the ball almost 60 yards. What is it like to watch that guy from your side of the ball on your team, have that guy as your quarterback?
Man, it's like a legend. You know, you're watching a legend literally in the making. You know, everything he does is professional. you know, from the way, from the moment he walks in the building to his study habits to, you know, finishing the job. And he's a winner, you know, as a competitor, you know, the one thing you want to be around is as many winners as possible, you know, on that football field. And, Pat Mahomes is one of the best competitors I've ever played football with. And, he's going to be a legend, man. And I see it here.
It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. What we want to know from you, which team should be the title favorite after the NBA trade deadline? Man, it is like 80% Lakers, 15% Clippers at this point. Keep chiming in. We want your thoughts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Brought to you by Capital One. You know how it feels when you've saved enough for that long-awaited home addition? Now, imagine saving enough for an addition on that addition. That's the feeling with Capital One, where a new savings account earns 5 times the national average. Capital One is helping you earn more towards your savings goals. This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, also ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Who's the favorite after the NBA trade deadline? You can tell us. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the meantime, you can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Speaking of Twitter, we all know KD loves his Twitter. We also know KD loves his burner accounts. Well, he's also admitted that he's still using them. The question is, what's it mean? J. Will, Damon Jones, ESPN basketball analyst, join Max and Emmanuel Acho to talk about burner accounts and Kevin Durant.
I kind of love the fact that he copped to it. That's one of the reasons that these podcasts and stuff with former players are so good, because athletes will talk to other athletes mm-hmm. who they respect professionally and as like a, in a brotherhood differently than they're going to talk to guys like me or Stephen A. It's just the way it is, because they'll be more candor. Jay turned my head around on KD on this issue. On the one hand, you think he cares too much, like what every Tom, Dick, and Harry has to say. On the other hand, he respects people. He doesn't think that because you have this position or you come from here or this, you have this power, he needs to treat you differently than someone he meets on the street. He has the same respect or contempt for everybody, right? I like that. There's a line from Rudyard Kipling's poem, If, that I think applies here, okay? I'm going to read it to you. I know it off the top of my head. I don't have to read it. If you can walk with kings, nor lose the common touch. Mm. If all men count with you, but none too much. Right? Kevin Durant is walking with kings, right? But he still has a common touch in a way. His issue is that no one should count with him too much. The feeling I get is that he cares too much about what these people in, you know, on Twitter or in some chat room or wherever he's going thinks, that he needs these burners, right? He obviously likes interacting with people. Whether or not he changes their mind or he agrees with them or he's standing up for himself, he just likes the interaction. But it seems to me it bothers him too much. He cares too much. I'm glad that one doesn't count more than the other with him, but maybe everyone should count a little less.
I hope everyone was paying attention to KD's quote and listen closely. Because he said burners, not burner.
Yeah.
That means he got several accounts that he just out here firing them off on. But as I look at it, I kind of disagree, because I look at Kevin Durant, don't know him personally. He went to Texas a year before I did. We've met a couple times, but 2-time NBA champ, 2-time finals MVP, 10-time All-Star, 6-time All-First Team. And I look at him and I'm like, bro, if you are going to tweet it said, quote unquote, nobodies, and nobody as it pertains to your athletic career, I would just say it with your chest and do it from your personal account. That's my only beef, is why not just do it from your personal account unless you're still worried about people's opinion? That is, you know, when KD tweets at people, it's going to be on GetUp. It's going to be on First Take. It's going to be on High Noon. It's going to be debated. So I don't have a problem with him, Max, chiming in and piping up against people who say things about him. My thing is just, why do it with a burner? There's no point
because,
if you want to say something.
Because that
just
way it doesn't have to be a media issue every time. He doesn't want to feed the beast every time.
He doesn't want to answer questions about everything he says, and he's still human. We always expect athletes to be superhuman. I have no idea. Who cares if he has burner accounts and he wants to go with people that have things to say about him? I know this. Reverend Anderson doesn't need a burner account. Reverend Anderson in Philly, when the good Reverend calls, the good Reverend gets in. Who do you think's the title favorite after the NBA trade deadline?
Well, the Clippers is the favorite. They're the vicious dogs on the West. But the dog catchers is Milwaukee Bucks. They will win it all. They will take the vicious dogs, put them in the pound, put them to sleep forever.
I'm telling you, I love the Reverend's passion. That's what I'm talking about, Reverend Anderson. Keep tweeting me at Jason Fitz as we try and break down who should be the NBA favorite. Again, when you look at burner accounts and you look at Kevin Durant, remember one thing. He might be an athlete, and that means that you think that he should live a certain way, but he's also a human being. Imagine if every time you turned in a spreadsheet to your boss, thousands of people went to Twitter to tell you you're trash. Imagine if every time you tried to go to work, thousands of people decided that they were going to remind you that you're not qualified, you're awful, and you're not as good as you think you are. At the end of it all, we're all human. And one of the things that's alarming to me is how many people decide they're going to go to Twitter to spread their hate. I don't know why. I don't know why that's become part of culture. But I also don't know why it's become part of the culture of the world to look at the people spreading hate and find fault with the people that are trying to clap back to it. You could say ignore it all day long. Ignore it when you've lived it, all right? Ignore it when you see it over and over and over. Until then, who cares if he wants to go back at the people that come at him? Who cares? And why do we live in a world where we've normalized the hate to the point that we don't fault the haters? We fault the people that stand up for themselves. Is KD soft or is he just human? And realistically, what would you know about it? Live in his shoes for a day and see if you can handle the level of hate that athletes get, the level of hate that constantly comes from Twitter, and see if you could do all of it while keeping your head high and not responding. And if you think you can, I think you're underestimating how difficult it is to see what people have to say that aren't qualified to say it every single second of every single day. Congratulations, Kevin Durant. You're human. And frankly, I respect the hell out of that. It's First Take, Your Take. Y'all have a great weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us all week. Will Cain Show coming up next on ESPN Radio.